I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. We're going to finish up this series that I've been doing on great expectations, great blessings from this second sonnet from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And we're going to focus on the last two verses of the eight metrical psalms here. Verses 15 and 16, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Here we have four of the 10 words that are used to describe the word of God shared, and we have the connection of the phrase, I will. I will. These are things that the psalmist are committing to. As a follower of God, as a believer, he commits himself to following the Word of God. And I want to look at these four wills tonight because it seems that so many people are willing to do other things. I was reading just this week about the uptick in gambling among those that name the name of Christ. 26% of those that were polled identified with the Christian faith. And they're involved in sports gambling, all kinds of different things, which is just another form of covetousness. It's an amazing thing. 70% of the market is dominated by two companies, FanDuel and DraftKings. And so many think there's no problem with that. There's no problem with gambling. But they forget, whose money is it? Is it my money? Or is it God's money? Who gave you the ability to make money? God did. Who gave you the gifts and the talents to be able to earn a living? God did. Who gave you the mind to be able to think? God did. When you realize that and you come back to the one who made you, you begin to realize that perhaps maybe I need to be a little more careful about what I will to do. One of the things that we find is that so many do not connect gambling with covetousness. But what's the motive behind it? Why do people do it? To make what? Money. But what are they doing? Are they laboring for that? No, they're taking their money and they're gambling it, hoping that they'll get something back. All right? And they're gambling it on their favorite thing to do, which is watch sports. Now, I'm not here to talk about gambling, but what I'm talking about is that there are people that will to do things that I don't think are biblical. I think they center on covetousness. And by the way, what does God say about covetousness? It is as the sin of idolatry. I didn't say that. God did. Covetousness is as the sin of idolatry. It becomes a god. It is a cash cow that you hope is going to make your dreams come true. I stand in line often at the convenience store behind people that are doling it out. Here they are in clothing that looks like that they got it from, you know, a Helping Hand mission store, and they're putting down cash. Give me this. Give me that. Give me this, you know, I'm hoping to win a scratch-off or whatever the case. And the poor people are duped into giving away their hard-earned money because of a covetous drive within. Their will is engaged for that. The writer here in Psalm 119 says something completely different. I will meditate in thy precepts. It's interesting that he uses the preposition in. That's in the original language. In thy precepts. Do you remember what we said precepts were? Let's see if we can go back. Number 7 that we looked at last time. Precepts, 21 times used in Psalm 119. Always used in the plural. It's an injunction. The act or the instance of enjoining, ordering, or admonishing. I will spend time in your injunctions. Now, that's an act of the will, is it not? I want to know what your orders are, God. When you go to a convenience store or you go to a drive-thru and you give your order, what's your expectation? That you're going to get what you're... Have you ever gotten a bag and it wasn't what you ordered? Then you had to pull out a line, go back inside, and that happened yesterday, where an individual came and said, "This is not what I ordered," and they gave it back to them. They said, "Oh," and they walked over and threw it in the garbage can. And they started all over again, so this person had to wait to get their food. He didn't get what he paid for. Now, the expectation is, I will get what I ordered. Now, the idea of an injunction is a statement of God whereby he is indicating his will, his command, his order, his admonition. And the writer here says, I will do what? I will meditate in those injunctions. I will meditate in those orders. Now that's an act of will. That's not something whereby we think, well, this is going to be fun. Why is everything today equated with fun? Why do so many... We live in a restless world where people are constantly pursuing. I got to have fun. If I'm not having fun, I'm not going to be happy. Stop! You won't be happy pursuing something because you're restless. And no, I'm not saying it's wrong to have fun. It's all right to have fun. But if your whole life is centered on having fun, you're missing the big picture. I don't hear a lot of amens. Ooh, Pastor Todd's going where no man ought to go. Okay? Da 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 da, going where no man has gone before. I'm telling you something, folks. Our world is restless because it's pursuing after happiness and they never find it. They never find it. They find little moments of happiness. But when they're all said and done, they're just a memory. They're just a memory. Now, you know, memories are fine, but will memories always stay with us? Do memories provide you with sustenance to live on? Remembering what it was like to be strong and be able to run the 5K? We were talking about that today. Brother Vanderbo was saying, I don't run in 5Ks anymore. It hurts too bad. My hips hurt too bad. My knees hurt too bad. I don't do that anymore. I ride a bicycle. Hey, smart man. But I can't live in the past and say, you know, whenever I was a kid, some people like to do that. Whenever I was younger, I used to run 10 miles and it was nothing. And I could lift 300 pounds over my head. And they talk about how big. And you look at them now and they're just flabby thing and said, well, that's nice. But that's a memory. Now listen to me, folks. God didn't tell us, I want you to will to live on your memories. Not at all. As a matter of fact, when you get into the last two chapters of Revelation, you find that this life is going to be past, forever past. You're not going to be remembering all the things you did, because you're going to be so blasted away by the presence of Jesus Christ that all those things are nothing. They're nothing. It doesn't matter that you've got a huge long list of memories. That's nice. But did you will to spend time and energy in the injunctions of God, which, by the way, heaven operates by? They operate by the command of God. Notice the second thing that he says here. He says, I will, and in the King James Bible we have in verse 15, I have respect unto thy ways. But the Hebrew word means to fix the eyes on. To fix the eyes on. Have you ever fixed your eyes on something? How many of you went outside this afternoon and tried to see the Artemis II rocket take off? All right, did you see it? Yeah, it was a little too far away for us. I went out to see if I could see it. I saw several jet trails, contrails going over, but that wasn't it, because it went the other way.
I saw it on television.
You saw it on television. Well, good for you. I should have done that. Actually, I did. I went back in and saw the
the whole thing, you know. It's pretty thing. And everybody at Cape Canaveral. And everybody knew what they were thinking. Is everything going to go all right? Yeah, remember 1986? I was a college student. And watching the video, we were all gathered in the concert center watching the takeoff of the Challenger. It was taking that teacher, the first teacher, to go into outer space, and the whole thing just blew apart in pieces, and everybody just was what just happened? And then that evening, President Reagan came on, and he shared that iconic phrase, they've broken the surls, or whatever the phrase was, that they had touched the face of God, the surly bonds of this world, and touched the face of God, trying to unify the nation after a horrific event. But what was everybody doing? Where were their eyes fixed? Upward. Do you know you could only see it for 70 seconds, and then it was out of sight for the naked eye? It's now circling the earth right now, and you can't see it. It's too small. It's now in an orbit. It's not running its engines. It's just now circling the earth. It'll do so through tomorrow, and then it will take off into outer space, headed to the moon for 10 days. Everybody was looking. That's the idea behind this word. To fix our eyes on what? Say it, please. Respect for what? Said, I will have respect unto thy ways. You remember this from last time? Number 9, 5 times in the plural, this is one of them. 5 times singular is used metaphorically to describe a life lived according to whose pattern? God's pattern. I will fix my eyes on God's pattern. Think about that. What does that mean, to fix my eyes? So many times our eyes are down here. We're just looking here. That's it. No thought or meditation on God's pattern, God's ways, God's indications, God's leading and guiding. Oh no, we got our own things that we're doing. God doesn't expect us to live 24/7 like that with our eyes fixed on Him. Oh really? Can you pray while you're going throughout your day? Do I hear an amen? You better be. Pray without what? Ceasing. You know what that is? It's basically having my eyes fixed on the Lord. Lord, when your phone rings, you don't know what it's going to be. On Monday, my wife shows up at the print shop. I just changed into my umpire outfit because I found out I was needed to umpire. And I came out the door and there's my wife. Hey, honey, how you doing? She said, did you hear about Mrs. Schmitz? And I said, no, what happened? You need to get up to the office. And I got up here, and here she was in a chair, and she had a goose egg of a knot on the side of her head. Found out the story, we got her to the hospital. Just like that, your day changes, shifts. All right? Now, well, who do we go to at that moment? Well, let's call 911. I got something bigger and better than 911. Let's talk to God. Lord, would you undertake for her? Lord, watch over her right now. We don't know what might be. Pray that there's no broken bones, dear Father. And there was none. And they released her to come home. And she doesn't mind me talking about that because she was giving glory to God. You know what she did? As she was being wheeled out of the car, she had pulled out of her purse. And she has a big one. She has one of those big purses, all right? She's old school. She pulls out a gospel tract and hands it to the girl that was pushing her out to the vehicle and says, when you have a moment, I know you're really busy, when you have a moment, would you read this gospel tract? And the girl said, yes, I will. Thinking about that. Here she had been through all this trauma, her heart rate going up and down, blood pressure through the roof, then it bottomed out. And she's thinking about, I need to give a tract. You know what her eyes were fixed on? It wasn't the bruise on her eye, it was fixed on the Lord. I will fix my eyes upon His ways. Number three. I will delight myself with your statutes. Now, you know what delight yourself means? It means exactly that. Oh, there has to be a deeper Hebrew meaning. No, it's pretty much delight yourself. Now, what do we delight ourselves with?
Candy.
an honest man. Okay? In whom is no guile? Can I call you Nathaniel? Yeah. Candy, chocolates, fun, play. That's what delights me. When was the last time the Lord delighted your soul? Where you were so overwhelmed by the truth of what God is doing in your heart and life that you were just thrilled and delighted. I'm not talking about made up stuff. I'm talking about real stuff. And you may say, well, I don't never experience that. Why not? Why not? Are we Christians, little Christs? Is not His work real in our lives? The psalmist says here, I will delight myself with what? You don't see candies and chocolates and fun up there, do you? Read what it says. Statutes. Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to delight myself with statutes? We need to get rid of our rules. Oh no, not the psalmist. I want to know what God desires, what God wants. Statute means etchings, inscriptions. What has God etched in His creation? I want you to know that He's etched His glory in His creation. Even though it's marred by sin, there's something glorious about His creation. Whenever I watch some of the things about the spacecraft going out there and it automatically goes dark and you go into the great expanse and there's this 32-story rocket that looks like the head of a pin. And you look all around it, you know what you see? God's hand. And that's just a little bit of it. And He dwells in all of it. He's bigger than all of it. That's an etching. Do I hear an amen? That's an etching. That's an inscription. All of the creation of God is His glory and His goodness to us. Not a one of us got up this morning and said, I wonder if there's going to be enough oxygen today. I wonder if we're going to have enough today. Are we going to come up short? Maybe we need to go to Amazon or Temu and order some oxygen. Okay? That's a Temu purchaser right there. I cannot bring myself to pay the Chinese, but that's okay. Yeah. I need to order oxygen just in case we don't have any tomorrow. You know what? God's been taking care of that all of your life. And for the lives of all who have lived before, all the way back to Adam and Eve. You know what that is? That's an etching. It's an inscription on His universe that He's going to take care of us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's an etching, an inscription. And you know what we need to do? We need to delight ourselves in that. Delight yourself in that. And then finally, I will not be what? Forgetful. How many of you tie strings on your fingers so you remember things? That used to be a thing back in the day. I remember my grandmother from time to time, Granny, would have a string tied to her finger so she would remember something for that day. And say, Granny, what's that for? That's for me. You don't need to know what it is. It's for me so I can remember something that she had to do. Sometimes she had to go back up and feed the football players at Milton High School because she worked in the cafeteria there. So she'd have a string tied to her finger to remind her, I need to be up there at 4 o'clock so we can cook the meal for the football players. I will not forget what? I will not forget what? Let's be honest here. I will not be forgetful of your word. Let's go back. Word. Number 2, debar, 20 times used in this passage. Revelation of that which is previously not known. God telling you His mind, and you didn't know it before until He told you. He gave us His mind about His great love for us and His intentions in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Of the Redeemer that would come and would crush the head of the serpent, though His heel would be bruised. And you see the pictures all the way to Genesis 22. You have the beautiful picture of Abraham and Isaac and going up to Mount Moriah. And there He would offer His son. All the picture a foreshadowing, a prefigurement of Jesus Christ and the will of the Father. And mark your way all the way through the first five books of the Bible and all the way through Isaiah 53, the sufferings of God's servant, Jesus Christ. For what? Our sin. Our sin. Yea, we're like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned every one unto his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us. What's that next word? All. Nobody was excluded. Nobody was excluded. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Don't let intellectual people with their great minds and so forth steer you away from the simplicity of the revelation of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Still in the Bible. Still in the Bible. Don't let anybody take it away from you. He said, I will delight. I will not be forgetful of your word. Oh, we're so forgetful. We're so forgetful. Something happens and immediately we move into worry land. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication make your requests be made known unto God. That's the revelation. Amen. And yet I'm over here fretting and worrying over it. I might die. This thing that the doctors told me might kill me. Yes, it might. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Do you know that there's scripture for everything you face in this world? Amen. God's revealed it for a reason. And we're forgetful. We forget. Writer here says, I'm not going to forget. Now, when you look at his life, and you look at the testimony of things that happened in his life, you find moments of forgetfulness, do you not? You find those things. These were his desire. That was his will. He desired to do this. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, because none of us are. But it should be an overriding desire not to excuse why I live the way I do, but to get right with God and live the way he wants me to live. This, verses 9 through 16, this bet, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. This idea of dwelling in the Word of God is real. There is much there. It's our food. It's our water as believers. And if we're not in the Word, your will be steered to other things. And it will be evident to everybody where your will is located. It'll be evident. And how you live, how you talk, the things you dwell on, it'll all be there because that's where your will is engaged. But if your will is engaged with the revelation of God, four words used here about God's Word, you'll be encouraged, you'll be strengthened, you will not be taken by surprise, and you'll have the most wonderful, glorious, delightful Christian life that one could ever have. Yeah, but what if I get cancer? What about that? Do you still have the same Savior? Yes. Yes. Well, what if I have a stroke and I can't remember anything? It's there. Does the Holy Spirit stop living in a person who has a stroke and doesn't know anybody anymore? No, he's still there. We forget that. We have the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's get our thinking steered back into the track where it should be, in the blessed revelation of God. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. What an encouragement this passage is. Engaging the will in the revelation of your word. I pray that you would help us. We get so sidetracked. We run off this area, run off in that area, and we just live life and get up in the morning and do what we want to do, and very little thought given to your glorious revelation. Would you teach us, dear Father? You've given it to us. You expect us that if we want to grow in you and to understand you and to know more about you, that that's only going to happen in the Word. Pray that you'd encourage your people, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.